लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. I'm sitting here in a cold temperature area, and my guest is sitting in a t-shirt in a warm area. So maybe we can combine our temperatures and have a very warm conversation, hopefully. I say hello to Mark Pontarelli and welcome finally in my podcast. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Hello.
How are you doing? Christmas moody?
I finally have gotten into the Christmas spirit. It took me almost half the month, but I'm finally here.
it's fine. You have 8 days left.
Ten days, I think.
Yeah, we in Germany celebrate Christmas Eve on the 24th.
You know what's cool? So do we. My family does too.
You're not celebrating on 25th?
No, we do. It's very much like we go a lot harder for Christmas Eve than we go for Christmas Day. There's something for us a little bit more magical about Christmas Eve, because it's like, oh, you got like the Santa and the reindeer and everything leading up to Christmas Day is more magical for us than like actual Christmas Day. That's why we usually like to celebrate on Christmas Eve.
Okay, got a little bit more magic to it. 8 days left.
Eight days left. That's right.
In 8 days, you have to be totally ready for all the stuff.
I know. Yeah. I'm going to be fully dressed up and ready to go.
What's fully dressed up? Suit?
I actually bought a holiday blazer. It's like
a blazer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool. I love this Christmas sweaters and stuff like that. Here in Germany, you cannot get it.
Really?
No, we are not so. We in Germany, we are more traditional, and this Christmas weather pajama stuff is for German people, I think, too.
But I thought that Christmas was a really big deal in Germany.
It is. We have a lot of traditional Christmas markets running right now. That's totally really nice, and I can show you. Mm-hmm. I can
but
show you.
Like, so there's that, no like weird, ugly Christmas sweaters. And, those cookies look good.
They have a lot of traditional stuff here.
Yeah.
Some of the people here have maybe Christmas weather, but it's more the younger generation. And because of, you know, it's the same like Halloween. We don't celebrate Halloween here.
Oh.
But some at some locations they are try to do it the American style. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the same with the Christmas stuff.
But otherwise, kind of interesting though, because like Americans, like I don't know how it happened, but like I feel like sometimes adults celebrate Halloween more than children do, and I think so.
Maybe because they can be kids again.
Yeah, and I think for someone like me who basically plays pretend and dresses up for a living, I find it a little strange that like adults are like they go so hard into Halloween, like they're obsessed over it. And I'm like, this is just another day at the office for me. Like I'm just dressing
you are,
up as another.
I'm playing Mark today.
Yeah, like I would rather be Mark experiencing Halloween. But yeah, Christmas for me, I think is way more, for me, it's a bigger deal than Halloween, but maybe that's just my own bias.
Here in Germany, it's more the time before Christmas, the Advent. Mm. We celebrate a lot of the Advent with advent calendar, traditional Christmas markets and stuff like that. And the other thing is, in Germany,
It's not Santa who visits us on Christmas Eve.
What?
We have Christkind.
Christkind?
Christkind, yeah. We
Christkind.
don't have Santa here.
What
We
is
don't believe in
Christkind?
Christkind. Means the Christkind was born on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
It's like an angel
Like,
figure. And
whoa.
in Nuremberg, in Bavaria, it's a really famous Christmas market. It's called the Christkindlesmarkt. And the tradition figure of this market is every year a young woman with blonde long hairs and a crown and wings. And I will send you a picture.
That sounds
So
amazing. But what?
we
Yeah.
have on the 6th of December Nikolaus. It's kind of Christmas, but
Yeah.
there you put on the evening before your shoes outside, and on the next day they are filled with chocolate, oranges, and stuff like that.
You put your
So that's
shoes out?
yeah.
How clean are the shoes when you put them out there?
They have to be very clean, and you have to be, or you had to be a nice guy the whole year, otherwise you won't get any treats in your shoes
Well,
from.
that sounds similar to like the
Yeah.
Christmas Santa deal, right? Like
Yeah.
you gotta be nice, you gotta be
Yeah,
good,
but
all that
Santa is
stuff.
here finished at the 6th of December. Then
So
the
that
grist came.
happens. So the shoe thing happens on the 6th.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And then what happens on like the 24th or 25th?
Then it's the Christkind, and we celebrate Christmas Eve. And I'm Catholic. What's the name? Catholic?
Catholic, yeah.
Catholic? Yeah.
Yeah.
We have on Christmas Eve, some churches made that at midnight of Christmas Eve, a big ch in the church, a big celebration of the arriving of the Christkind,
Oh, that's cool.
with a lot of choir singing and candles lighted up in the church
Nice.
and stuff like that. So
Pretty cool.
it's more, as I said, not so fancy.
Sounds actually, but it sounds really fancy. It sounds like very unique, which is really cool and really
Yeah,
exciting. That'd be cool.
it's very super traditional.
Yeah.
I think,
It
to
doesn't
be
sound as
honest,
commercialized, like because I feel like
yes,
Americans have a
yes,
very
exactly.
commercialized version, like with presents and all this other like fun stuff, like very like
Yeah.
materials. But yeah, that sounds more like,
So
oh, it's
mostly
spiritual.
families celebrate Christmas Eve with a dinner together and then sitting under the Christmas tree singing songs. And mostly on the 25th and 26th here, you are visiting other family as your aunties and uncles and stuff like that. So, but the main part is on Christmas Eve here.
Okay. Interesting. I like
Yeah.
that. That sounds nice.
Yeah, Germans are so traditional. I think that's also the problem why verticals are not so very popular here in Germany, because it's too fancy and too new and too, you know what I mean? So, but the funny part is, candy jar is based in Germany.
Really?
Yes,
I did not know that. I did not
in
know that. That's so
Berlin,
cool. Well, I
but
mean, give it time. I'm pretty sure it's what it's looking like is verticals are starting to seep into all corners of the earth. So,
have you been for vertical shooting in Europe yet?
technically, yes. I went to.
Technically,
I don't know.
what's tech?
Because I'm so sorry. This is gonna sound so dumb of me, but I get confused on if the UK is part of the European Union.
Not anymore of
Not
European
anymore.
Union, but part of Europe.
It is part of Europe. Okay, so
Yes.
I have technically yes. Then yes, I have been to Europe to film a vertical. I've only gone to London. London was the only
Okay.
time that I've filmed. I.
I remember, but that was a year ago,
Yeah, it's about a year ago. Actually,
something
it was
like
this
that.
time last year. This time last year.
Did you do, oh, have you been there when they did the live one with the Love and the Blood ones from their hotel room, and they catched you while you were brushing your teeth in the morning in England? Was that that?
Yeah,
Okay.
that was they were in Mexico. They had just
Yeah, okay.
started with like the pre-production of Love
Yes.
and Blood, and I was still filming. I was the only cast member who was filming on another project. So I was like
Another
across the world. I was in,
continent, another
yeah, I was,
project.
and like they were in like beautiful sunny Mexico, and I was
Okay.
in freezing cold London, and it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning on my time, and they were like,
Yeah.
"Mark, jump on the live stream," and I was like, "Okay," so kind of like just. And I'm like, bit like the light is like beaming in my eye, you know? And I'm like, "Hey, everyone!" Like,
I saw this
it's
live one. I remember, yes,
oh.
yeah, there where you have been in England. No, so not in Istanbul already, or
No,
Lithuania, or
none of
nope.
those. I would love to go to one of those. But the stars have not aligned with any of that yet. But
Or
you know,
Italy?
never say.
Do you have
Oh.
Italian roots?
Yes, I do. Which is really funny because I feel like all of my friends have worked in Italy except for
Yes.
me, and I'm like the Italian one. I know.
You should
I said.
take Nick Ritacco with you because I think he would fit also perfect to Italy.
Yeah.
And then you should do an Italian mafia one.
You know
That
what's cool
would be
about
good.
Nick and I? Nick and I are we. First of all, people like to say that we look alike, which I think is an amazing compliment because Nick Ritacco is a beautiful boy. But so he's a beautiful boy. So I was like, yes, I'll absolutely accept the fact that him and I look alike. So not only do we look alike, but we also are from the same like home. Like we live like we're from like the same like region in Illinois. Yeah, which is really
Okay.
cool. So him and I. We share a lot of similarities. So him and I would be great to go out to Italy and
I
do
think
a.
you have both Italian roots also, so
Yeah. I think so. I think it'd be good. I think it'd be cool.
why not?
You know, if I had all the power, I would make that happen lickety split. That would be it'd be good to go. But
Doesn't matter
unfortunately.
what genre then, or would you prefer a special genre?
Like what vertical genre do I prefer?
Yeah.
I
If you
do like
had the
to,
chance to go to Italy, the whole
yeah.
mafia land, would you do a werewolf one there, a vampire one, a mafia one, or what kind of vertical you would
If I was
prefer?
in Italy, I think it
Yeah.
would be really cool. I think it would be really cool to do a mafia one, just because it's like it's got so much like history there. But I don't know if it would resonate because I feel like Italian mafia culture became really popular in like New York and like New Jersey and stuff like that. So I wonder, I don't know, but I think that'd be really cool. If I were to go to Italy, I would really want to use like the sculptures and the architecture there. So I
Yeah.
think maybe a more fantasy-based one would probably be preferable.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool just to kind of utilize the beautiful architecture that's
Yeah.
in
Yeah.
Italy. Yeah.
Or a criminal one in Rome
Oh yeah.
with a
Yeah.
criminal case to
That'd
solve
be
in
cool.
Rome with the
Absolutely.
Colosseum
Yeah.
and all this
Like a
historical
really good
stuff.
detective series. That would be really cool. Yeah.
Something
Yeah,
like
I like that a
that.
lot actually. That'd be really fun.
And
Yeah.
then you can visit the Pope also and say hi.
Yeah. The Pope. We could have the title be like my Pope is my CEO father or something like that.
The long lost heirs of
The long lost Pope heiress.
the
Where the Pope is my alpha king.
Do you know who you also take with you to Italy? Michael Vaccaro, because he told me when I recorded with him, he already met the Pope.
What?
Yeah. Two or
Whoa,
three
that's cool.
times he met the Pope.
Two or three times? How do you
Uh,
wait? Doing
yeah.
what?
I asked him if he's a saint
Is
because
he like.
he told me, he met two different type of popes. That one time there was a German Pope and he told me that he had met him. He had an audience at with the Pope. And I said, "What?"
What?
And he said, "Yeah, and with this Pope also." Really? Are you kidding me? No. So he
Like he so what he is he got is he like text buddies with him? Like what do you mean? Like
don't know. He didn't tell me the secret how he sneaked in. I don't know. But he
how?
told me that he spoke to the popes.
That's amazing. Like the current one or like older ones?
No, not the current one. The one, no, the two before, the German one,
Oh my gosh.
and two, there was one, a Polish pope a few years ago. With him, yeah,
That is
I was
amazing.
totally shocked
Yeah.
that he spoke with the Pope,
That's
and he
like
said,
the highest up you could go in terms
yeah
of like, you
yeah
know what I
so
mean?
so
Like,
if you're going to shoot something in Rome, you have to take Michael with you, because maybe that chance is very high that you can meet the Pope.
listen, if we get the Pope doing a cameo in any vertical, I don't think that that would beat any that wouldn't that would beat out any cameo in cinematic history, like ever. That would be the best cameo of all time. Just be like, and then I would
Imagine
say, super cool.
the balcony scene, wherever
Yeah.
you see the Pope going out, and
Yeah.
you go out with the Pope and make hello to
Yeah.
the Pope, people
Or
standing.
maybe like have those one of those rain scenes that we always do. And then like we're on our knees, like struggling,
Yeah.
crying in the rain. And then the Pope
Please
just
forgive
extends his
us.
hand. The Pope just extends his hand and he's like, come with me. I'm like, what? It was
Or
so
maybe you
cool.
will beg him for forgiveness because you did
Yeah.
something worth. Who knows?
Exactly. Yeah, that'd be cool too. Well now, all right, so now
Imagine
I
this one, the Pope in a
Yeah.
vertical.
That'd be the new standard.
If you can't get the Pope, sorry, it would be a flop.
It's just not worth it if we don't have the
No,
Pope in it. Like, what's
no.
the point? Yeah.
Okay, to be honest, it would be worth because the food is so great in Italy.
Oh yeah. So I have been to Italy a few times. I just haven't filmed a vertical there.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you
But I've
have
been lucky
been
enough
to
to go.
Italy a few times, can you make pasta by yourself?
Make pasta right now? No, but I'll tell you what I can make by myself. I went when I was in acting school, in college. I got into this program, that shipped me off to Italy for like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And we had to build these like paper mache masks for this
Yes.
very specific kind of like acting or like theater art. It's
Yeah.
called Commedia dell'arte. And so we had to do like these like mask work. And so I made these masks. And it was so cool. We had to like contort our bodies and like shape ourselves to what the mask was like indicating. And so I can make a mask, but I can't make
Food,
pasta.
Pizza.
Pizza's sure. I could probably make a
Okay,
pizza.
big question. Pineapples on the pizza or not?
So this is a good question. So I come from a
It's
place
a very
where
important question mark. You
pizza
can
is,
only go wrong, all right.
you know, like it's a yes or no question, right? I do come from a very interesting land of pizza, that is, I think, very separate from the rest of the world's version of pizza, which is Chicago deep dish style pizza. So
Okay.
Chicago deep dish pizza is basically like one slice is an entire meal. Like it will get you as full as like a Thanksgiving dinner. And so it's so I don't know. I think it depends on the kind of pizza that I'm eating. But I typically do not put pineapple on my pizza. But I have before, and I haven't been upset about it, but I don't usually go right to the pineapple.
Okay.
It
So
seems like the most like
tip, if you ever go back again to Italy, don't even think about pineapples on a pizza.
Oh no. In
They
Italy,
will
no.
kick you, they will kick
No.
you
And again,
immediately
that's
out.
what I'm saying. Like, if it, I think it's circumstantial. So it's like if I'm in
Okay.
Italy, then I'll be like, no, I'm not gonna get plant the pineapple. But if I'm in
For
Hawaii, where
sure
like
not.
pineapple is like everything, but Hawaii, yeah, I'll put sure, why not? Throw across the pizza pie.
Do
But
you
like,
speak Italian?
no, I do not. I do not. My
No.
I'm only half Italian.
Okay.
So yeah, so my mom is not Italian, but my dad is. So we all want to be on equal playing field. So all of us speak English only. Yeah.
Okay. Shit, because Italian is really nice.
I know. It's a
I
beautiful language.
love the language of Italian.
Never say never. Never say
You know,
never.
I only have to drive 5 hours with the car, and then I'm right in Italy from here.
Really?
Yeah. I have 1 hour to
Awesome.
drive and I'm in Austria, 1 hour to drive and
So
I'm in
cool.
Switzerland,
That's so cool.
5 hours to drive and I'm in Italy, 5 hour to drive, I'm in the Czech Republic.
Wow, that's
You know,
amazing.
Europe is not so big, Mark. You
I
know?
know. And it's all beautiful, all of it. It's
If
all
I
just the
if
coolest
I will
birthday.
fly 1 hour, I'm right at the total other side of Germany at the end.
Isn't that like that's isn't that amazing? And then it takes like what, like a year to travel from like New York to California.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like
No, my
I
dad, for example, we have here a river. It's called the Donau. And the
mm.
river, this river starts in the Czech Republic near Prague.
Okay.
And my
Cool.
dad went there with his bicycle. And then he drove the whole river through Germany until the
What?
north. Yeah, in 3 weeks
That's
with the
so cool.
bicycle.
A bicycle.
3 weeks.
That's amazing. That's so
That
cool.
wouldn't work in the
No,
US.
no. Forrest Gump tried to run the whole length of America, and he did that. But that was a Tom Hanks movie. That's so cool. I love that. That I would
Yeah.
love to do something like that.
So you have to check for a few
Yeah.
verticals. Maybe a vertical in Lithuania, a vertical in Istanbul, a vertical in Italy, so you know that you can make all the European vertical round
Check
trip.
marks like the list of all that. Yeah. I think, and that's what I'm saying. I think that there's the way verticals have been going and like the way the industry's been, it's with verticals. I think that it's only a matter of time before all the countries of the world are watching
Yeah, and
verticals in some way, shape, or form.
I think that the European market will grow because it's not so big at the moment,
Yeah.
the European market.
Yeah.
And here is a lot of potential, I
Yeah,
think.
absolutely.
And Danny Faber told me lately he did the first vertical in Istanbul for a good short. I think the big platforms are coming a bit
Think
more
so. I think
over
so.
here.
Yeah. I
Right at
think
the
what's really
moment, it's
cool about
mostly the smaller ones.
Yeah. What I think is really cool about, the European countries is I think that the what I really love about it is that you guys have a bet like a really, really beautiful appreciation for art and creativity. And I think that that's really like something that would be really beneficial for the vertical industry is to really, because everyone out there, and at least from my experience with Europe, it's like everyone really, really cares about and really passionate about the arts and creativity. So I think that verticals would do really well out in all stretches of
Hopefully,
Europe. Yeah.
that would
Yeah.
be great. Did
Yeah.
you ever shot a vertical outside of the US?
Yeah. Yeah, I've shot one in London, Mexico, and then China.
In China also?
Yeah, yeah,
How
yeah.
was that in China?
It was, it was really cool. It was a very unique experience. I think that every actor should who's interested in going to China, if you're not interested, that's totally fine. But if you are interested in going, I think that you should experience it. I think that it can be one of those really cool opportunities to really challenge yourself as an actor. So I think that yeah, and I've actually lived in Shanghai before, which is I was very lucky. Yeah, so I filmed in Shanghai, and then I got to go back and film a vertical in Shanghai, which was a really cool, really, really cool experience. So it was like familiar territory. For me, a little bit, which was really exciting. So yeah, I had a good time.
What was the difference shooting in China, for example, compared to shooting in LA?
To be honest, not too much. I think just a little bit longer work hours. And then I think for me, everyone was super nice and everyone was super kind. And I'm everyone is su I get really. I'm very, very lucky. I'm very blessed that I've had a lot of really great projects that I've worked on. So everyone was super proficient, just trying to get the just trying to get trying to get as much footage as we can, kind of thing. I don't know, big differences.
Was
I
it
think
easy to communicate with the crew because of the language barrier?
actually,
Was
yeah,
it difficult?
I think a lot of it comes down to just sometimes it really just comes down to understanding. Like what the shot needs to be, and I think that's just the intuition of the actor, and like me having a lot more. I've been very fortunate. I've been able to work on a lot of verticals before, so I think I would like to think that I have a good understanding of the technique and how to act in a vertical on film kind of thing, where I know that there's certain shots that need to look a certain way, and I need to stand a certain way, and I need to perform at a certain way. So I think that having that base knowledge really helped me communicate with the cast and crew a lot easier than maybe I would have if I had just been starting doing this. Does that make sense? Yeah. So
Yeah,
for
makes
me,
sense.
it was very easy to communicate with the cast and crew overseas. Yeah.
I have a question because that would I'm just interested in. I did a recording for this podcast with an intimacy coordinator, for example. Do they have in China also this crew members, intimacy coordinator and script supervisor and stuff like that?
So, for my project, for the one project that I did, there was. I
Okay.
think that there was, because that's something I think for myself, as I try to always make sure that there's someone with that kind of intimacy coordination proficiency within my contracts,
Yeah.
just to make sure that everyone is safe and everyone is,
Yeah, comfortable, yeah.
So I try to push for those things, and it's usually not an issue.
Okay.
And with that, again, with that one project that I did, I w it, everything was safe, and we had intimacy coordination and things like that. Yeah.
Okay. No, I was just interested if it's in China the
I couldn't
same
tell you. I'm not entirely
way.
sure. All I can speak about is from my personal experience. Yeah.
How many verticals have you done so far?
Yeah. There was a little moment that I had a couple of weeks ago where I had to count up all of them, and I couldn't. I think that I got all of them, but I was just looking at kind of like my IMDb page for them, and I it's definitely over 30 at this point.
Yeah.
I've had
Okay.
the I've been really. I've been really blessed in a lot of great ways because I've gotten to work with a lot of really cool actors because I got to do supporting roles a lot, especially in my earlier days. So I kind of got like the best of both worlds where I was able to get a lot of credits and get a lot of verticals under my belt before I started being
Leads.
more leads
Yeah.
than not. So yeah, those so I've been very fortunate to do so many. Yeah.
When did you start follicles?
I started doing them, I guess you could say full time. I guess I started doing them full time June of last year. So June 2024.
Okay.
But my first one that I ever did was actually in November of 2023. And I had no idea what it was. No one
I
really
think it's
knew.
the same as all the actors. Everyone is saying to me, I didn't know what it was. I was a
Yeah.
bit shocked when I saw it on set with the cameras.
Yeah, I was, I, and it, what and the weird thing about that was there wasn't any the first one that I did, there really wasn't a whole lot of pressure to like get the whole thing done and all that stuff. And maybe this was just because I was super lucky on the first vertical I ever did. Great director, great production crew, like we were great actors, like everyone was just loving it, like having a great time.
What was your first one? Do you know that?
The first one, yeah, I actually was the main character, and it was called "Marry a Stranger," and yeah, it was for Kalos TV. It was great. I had a great time. It was with 24
Was
Karat Onion
Kalos
Productions.
TV so early?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, it was
Really?
the first one I ever did, and it was, and I had no idea what it
Really?
was,
I thought
and.
that Carlos popped up at the beginning of this year. No?
Yeah, no, yeah,
Oh.
Kalos TV. Yeah, Kalos TV was that was the first one,
Okay.
and it was great. It was so much fun. I think for us, we saw the script, and it was your standard like hidden billionaire
Okay.
vertical,
Okay.
and but at the time we didn't know what that meant, like what that stigma was. But so we thought that we were like, hey, you know what? This script is really fun. Let's make this like into like a fun romantic comedy. And so that's what we did, and it was just a romantic comedy. So we didn't have like we had the dramatic moments when they're absolutely needed to be, but for the
Yeah,
most
okay.
part, everything was so lighthearted. Like the script was like we treated it like a lighthearted, fun script. Like it
It
wasn't.
was not so overloaded with the classical tropes, kidnapping, slapping every 2 minutes.
No, and there was, and what was, there was a kidnapping at the end. There was
Yeah, okay.
like a big, you know, point the gun, like shoot off kind of thing. And but it wasn't, but again, it was all with the layeredness of like the fun story that we had created. And it was a great, it was awesome. We loved it.
When you look back to this first vertical shoot to and combine it with your last one, what has changed in this 1.5,
Oh
nearly two
man.
years?
I think the first one I ever did, the Marry a Stranger, that was I had a much, I think I was coming into it with more of the mindset of what I learned in like acting school, and like very much like, oh, I'm gonna create some groundedness with the character, and you know, and have some this, that, and the other. But I think that over time now, with the verticals that I shoot now, I think that me understanding more about what it takes on a technical level to achieve what these verticals are trying to achieve, in terms of like the acting technique. I think for me, that's the biggest change that I've seen. Long story short of it, basically, like my acting has like adjusted to what I know the vertical industry really strives towards, and really wants to achieve. So that's how I do it. But in terms of the, I think what's really, really cool is the production value of some of these. I think that like the lighting, the cinematography is getting better, the settings are getting better,
Yeah, they
the
are getting all more experienced, huh?
yeah, like the camera
Learning by
work
doing.
is improving, I think, because everyone else is also adjusting to the technique of verticals, which is basic, when, in my opinion, it's being created as its own form of technique. You know, there's a certain technique that actors have to learn. There's multiple techniques that actors have to learn. There's multiple techniques that a cinematographer has to do, a director has to learn. So I think that verticals are slowly but surely becoming its own technique, and which I think can be applied to other forms of creativity and artists. So I think that that's what's really cool, is I'm seeing not only the actors, but the production crew is also adjusting and improving, and we're all kind of getting better at making something really, really awesome. Yeah.
Do you think it's getting also more familiar because you sometimes you meet again on set with co-stars you have already shot, and so it's kind of more familiar to do the stuff together?
Yeah. I think I didn't quite understand when I first, so quick backstory. I was a theater kid for about 20 years. I was a theater actor. I was only doing stage. I was no film, no TV. And so 3 years ago, I moved out to California, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna try. And one of the things that I found interesting, about the film industry, just like the regular Hollywood industry, was that like, oh, I wonder why these directors only work with the same actors over and over again. Or I wonder why, this film production, this crew only works with these specific kind of people over and over and over again. I think it's one of those things where when you work with someone that you really click with in terms of creativity and cinematography, or even like actor to actor kind of thing, you want to hold on to that because it's so special. It's so special. So that's something that I also learned with verticals as well. I think that when I get to see someone that I haven't worked with in a while, but I know what their creativity is like, and I know what their choices are. Even like the DPs and things like that. Like sometimes I know what the camera guys really like when they shoot, and then like I know what actors really like and directors really like. So I think that's what's making it really fun for me, is creating, is being like, oh, I know this guy really likes it when I do this, or like I know this actor really likes it when I do that. So that's been really fun to kind of like, you know, do more and more.
And when you did the Love and Blood project, was that the cherry on the cake because it was something so special in this vertical
The
space.
cherry on top of it in terms of what? Like my just like the
You know, I assume that you all are really good friends, otherwise you would have had so
of
much
course. Oh
fun
my gosh,
doing
of
that.
course. Yeah.
So then it was kind of really new storyline in this space. It
Yeah.
was so different from the classic vertical ones.
Yeah, it was. It was. I think yeah, you know, I think it was one of those incredibly memorable and special experiences that I got to have. And that's the short suite of it. I very much enjoyed every minute that I was filming, that I was with those people that I love. To this day I still love each and every one of them. And we always, whenever we see each other, there's always like a fun like bond that we share with that, because I think Love and Blood was not only special to us, but I think it was special to a lot of people. I hope it was, at least. And I also think that, and what I hope was inspiration for other creatives to really stretch outside the bounds of what they think that they're able to do. And I think that it was something that proved to everyone that there is room to push boundaries, and there's room to in a way that excels the industry and excels everyone. Everyone benefits from it. So I think that was really cool. That was something that was really hold dear to me.
And I think it was really cool to see that there is so much more possible in this space. Not
Yeah.
always the classic shitty tro oh, sorry. You know, I started watching Verticals at the end of 2023. And you know, 2 years later, it's always repeating kind of storylines. And
Yeah.
Love and Blood, or also the Campus Rivals stuff, or you see exactly when it's written by an actor itself.
Yeah.
It's so much better. It's so much better. No, really. Because
Yeah.
I think most of the people are so overloaded with the classic trope lines. That was the reason why I was looking now forward to the Christmas verticals, because the Christmas verticals are mostly not so full of violation because of the Christmas time, and
Yeah.
the stories are more,
Better overall. Yeah. They're fun, or at least they're different. They're different than
yeah.
the
But this year I saw there was some Christmas verticals with the classic trope line and the Christmas tree in the background, and then it was called the Christmas vertical. So.
I know, it is very funny. I think what
Did
I
you
think
do a
about,
Christmas vertical?
technically I did. I did do I technically I did work on our Christmas vertical. But it was not a it was by no means it was very much like what you said. It was like a regular story, and then they sprinkled a little. It was with a kid, a child actor, who's very professional, very great. And at the very end, she goes, "And Merry Christmas." That was it. That was the only,
That was the Christmas touch?
it was the only indication that this was anything to do with Christmas or even winter. Like there was no anything else to do with it. But so I guess technically that was a Christmas vertical. I think what is something that I've really, really been noticing is that the way this industry, this vertical industry, is so it's so new, in terms of what Hollywood even has under their belt. Like they've got 100, if not more, what feels like 100 years of material and things like that. And even when the movie industry first started, it was like this obscure thing that like was like, what is this? Like, how do we do this? Because it was a transition from radio and then all that stuff, and no one was really understanding it. Those they were called talkies. You know, they weren't even called movies, right? They were called talkies. So like you have this industry that started and built and built and built from there. And I think Verticals is something that also is in that same realm of like anything that starts off. There's always going to be a weird transition of understanding what the space is before it really catapults into something that is just so incredible, even more so than we thought it already could be. So I'm hope I guess I'm more on the side of optimism than on the side of
I think
pessimism.
that's the best thing you can do in this business, isn't it?
I'm hoping that because it's so new, because it's so fresh, that things are going to feel redundant for a little while, and then maybe level up a little bit, because then you got because you know it takes like okay, so you got like a year of like regular vertical, but then you got like a Love and Blood, and then you got another like 6 months, then you got a Campus Rivals and like things like
Yeah,
that,
and
and then things
lately
start
Game of
to
Choice.
yes, Game of Choice, same thing. So it's like people, the conversation of trying to do something unique and creative is always in the conversation when it comes to these verticals. Like we're always talking about it. So it just comes down to timing, resources, and the right creatives at the right time to really
And
make
then we
something
need
pop.
the platforms willing to take the risk to publish something new.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's like it all those right things need to hit in order for something really great to happen. So I'm optimistic. At least I am.
Okay, so how optimistic are you for 2026 with for
I
the
think,
verticals? What do you
I
think? What
think
will improve, change, or pop up or
I'm hoping my personal goal, I love everything. So there's a couple of genres that I really, really love. I love fantasy and I love comedy. So I think that, and verticals have a little bit of fantasy with the werewolf stuff. I do think that there is a space for the werewolf stuff to really, really start to stretch the bounds of the creativity there. I think that there's a world where I think that if I were to choose which would happen first, like fantasy versus comedy, I think that fantasy would probably take the win on that. So I'm really hoping that 2026 we get a very interesting and really cool turn for the fantasy style of verticals, which I think can be really, really fun.
Yeah, I think so.
And
And
if
because
they
of
do comedy, that'd be great
and
too.
the comedies, I can tell you, I lately recorded with a post-production team from Weglu in Vietnam.
Oh, cool.
And one of them told me that she is watching a lot of Chinese verticals, and in China there were shot, she said, lately so many comedy verticals.
Really?
Yeah, and she was sure that if some of them will be big numbers in China, that they will come over
Oh,
to the Eastern market. So
that
she
would
told
be
me that they were lately shot a lot of really comedy ones in China.
amazing. That would be so great. Great. I think that verticals would genuinely thrive in comedy
Oh
because
yes, but
there's, yeah.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Do you think that a comedy vertical script would work for every culture? Because, for my opinion, I'm not sure if we European or Western people have the same humor, like, for example, the Asian people. You know what I mean? I think
That's a good
humor
question.
and comedy stuff is sometimes a bit d difficult to do because.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. That's a good question. I think it really just depends on what the outreach is. You know, I think that if the outreach is for mostly American and Western audiences, then I think that then maybe that comedy would be more successful. If there's a vertical that's made, that's a comedy that's made more for Eastern audiences, then I think in the Eastern that would probably be more because I think in general, I think that's just how comedy's always been. It's been like there's shows in the UK that are really successful, but if they're shown in America, then people are don't respond to it the same way. And vice versa. There's a lot of American comedies that are what I would consider the biggest comedies of all time. But if you take it to the Eastern countries, then it's like, oh, well, they don't respond to it the same way. So I think it would be the same thing. I guess it just really just matters on who you're making this audience for,
But I think, with the classic trope, CEO, billionaire, hidden identity stuff, when you have a vertical in which is very successful in China, you got it translated, maybe AI translated, that you can use it for the Western market. I think that would work better than translating a comedy script, you know what I mean? Because I'm thinking for comedy, it would be better if it would be written in that country where the comedy
I think
should
so. I mean,
get.
sure, of course, you're always going to have an advantage of if the writer is from, the place where you're filming. I think that it could also be dependent upon how the how like how it's filmed. You know what I mean? Because a script can only do so much. The script is the Bible, right, of the production. Like you gotta live by the script as much as you can. But when it comes to life, and it's filmed a certain way, that just kind of depends on what the director envisions, how it's shot. Are the actors capable of pulling off that kind of style of comedy kind of thing? Which are there's so many things to there's so many factors to consider besides just the scripts, you know what I mean? Yeah.
But that would be so great.
It would be
Oh,
cool.
really great rom-com. Oh, yes.
It would be. I think it would be really fun.
I would watch that right away. Not, you know, so, no, you know, sometimes the classic trope is really exhausting because you watch the first five, six episodes, and when you're watching verticals for a while, you know exactly after the fifth or sixth episode how the
Like what
complete
exactly you're
vertical.
gonna get, kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's what? All right. So what's your style of comedy that you would want to see?
I like kind of sarcasm.
Okay. Sarcastic.
And we have here in Germany a few really great comedians. I know one of them played also really big shows in the US.
Nice.
And he is talking about simple things of life. And it's so funny because in his program, you see yourself in every type he's talking about. You know, it's kind of normal situations with different personalities in it and reaction of the personalities and stuff like that. For me, I think that's sometimes also the problem of a vertical. It's too far away from the
Reality.
story. Yeah, lately, for example, you see it verticals on Wiglu or Candy Jar. Most of the Wiglu ones are based on some book stories.
That's cool.
And also on Candy Jar. Candy Jar, okay, they have also some kind of CEO stuff or billionaire stuff, but it doesn't matter in the storyline, you know what I mean? They did some verticals also with a typical normal story in a hospital with a doctor with an ill person, and it's more down to earth stories. And for me, I like it when I can find myself in some type of the storylines, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
This, because to be honest, the stuff with I'm a prof, this whole professor-student verticals are so ridiculous.
Yeah,
Really, they are
of
so
course.
ridiculous
I know. I
from
know.
my point of view, you know?
I know. Yeah.
And also the other what is so hard for me to imagine, they got married. One of them get apart, and after 3 years, they don't know even recognize each other. Really?
Yeah, those are actually a bit of a challenge, I'm not gonna lie. Is trying to justify not recognizing the love of my life if after only 3 years I've been with. Yeah. Or their
So
hair
that's
slightly changes.
kind of hard. You know what I mean? It's so, oh, come on, a bit more realistic, please. A
I
bit. No, and comedy one, I also liked great, for example, Big Bang Theory, Sheldon, the character of Sheldon, when he's sometimes saying, so for him, total normal things, but they are so funny in a way. He says the things and stuff like that. I like this type of personality comedy, you know what I mean? When you have so different characters and
I know.
you have to laugh about the person itself. I love that one.
I know. I think that's why it would play so well as a comedy, is because I think that what the industry is, and maybe this is just because I come from a strong comedic background in America, but we recognize when a character in a comedy is larger than life, and we want to see, and when they're more exaggerated than what you would normally see in a normal everyday person. And I think that we recognize that as something that could be potentially humorous, like Sheldon, like what you said, this larger than life character, someone that you would be like, someone that normally in your everyday life you would probably try to actively avoid, but when you're watching him on TV, you only want to watch him. You only want to engage with
Yeah, and
him.
in the combination with his friends, it's so funny. It's so
And so I
funny.
think what is really fascinating about verticals is that there are so many characters that are larger than life, like the villain characters and the evil mom characters and like the crazy dads and the evil and like even like the hero and the female whatever. It's like they're all larger than life. So it's very, very close to being a comedy. If all you have to do is just shift it just a little bit and then lean more into what that style of comedy is, and I genuinely think that people could respond to it like very, very well.
Yeah, but I talked to Adam Chisnell. For example, Adam Chisnell's reels, I can laugh out loud every day. They are so funny because he makes so much fun out of the vertical stuff itself. I love that. Seeing a stuff like that, it's so funny. It's
I agree.
so
I think it's fun.
funny.
It's so fun. It's fun. And that's what I'm saying. I think that people can really have more fun with it if we were just, it's again, it's that right time, right place kind of thing.
Yeah,
But
because him, for example, he told me sometimes he tries to put more comedy in the roles, but then he got say your text, leave it. So he got sometimes stopped. And Molly Anderson, for example, told me exactly the same. She said, I had lately so nearly a great rom-com, or you could have done it like rom-com, but they said no. Say your lines as in the script, please. And then she was so
I know. It's one day. One day.
hopefully.
I don't think it's impossible. I don't think I really don't think it's impossible. I just think it just takes the right resource and the right time for something.
The audience is totally ready for that. I can tell you.
I think so
We are
too. I think
so
so too.
ready for comedy stuff.
And
Oh,
it's good to
hell
hear
yeah.
though that if that if, that China is trying to make more comedies, which is a really
Yeah.
good sign. That's
Yeah,
good. That's
she
good.
told me from here. Or I would like to see a parody of verticals.
I
That would be
totally
so
agree with you.
great.
I think that would be a
When you have
perfect.
some type of roles, you have to stand there because I want to slap you now. Why you want to slap me now? It's in the script. I have to do it. I don't know why, but I want to slap you now. Stuff like that. Making
Of
fun out
course.
of a vertical classic trope story.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's room for it for sure.
Be so great. We
One
need
day.
that. You are in LA. Can you manage that, Mark, please?
I think that there's I don't want to I don't want to butt off more than I can chew, but I have been thinking a lot. I'm just going to say that I've been thinking a lot about this concept
That's
of
good.
a comedy, and
That's
this is
good.
something that is in my brain and something that I am going to continue to have to be on my brain, especially in this
That's good.
upcoming year. So we'll
That's
see.
good.
We'll see what happens.
I
Yeah.
trust you. I trust you. Because
I
I
try.
think here in Europe, it won't start with the comedy ones.
Someone's got to do it. Someone's got to try.
Yeah,
So
so
it may be
you
me, it
have
may
to.
not be me. I'm just gonna say that.
We will
Yeah.
see. So you said you did a lot of theater. Are you missing sometimes the direct connection to the audience? Because in
Yeah.
theater, you know, you get directly response from all the audience, and no show is same.
Yes.
Someday they are laughing at scene one, the next audience is laughing at scene three, but not at
Yeah.
one. It's every time so different
Yeah.
and
I think the thing that I miss the most is exactly along the lines of that. Yeah, is that the live audience is creates this imat like invisible beam of energy, and it beams directly at the actors, and when you're on that stage, and it is something that I can't really explain other than what I just said, like an invisible beam of energy, that it's unlike anything else that I've ever felt in my life. And so to transition from that into film, it's been hard, hard to adjust to that. Not that it's not worth it, or not that it's not like a great challenge for me as an actor, which is why I started doing TV and film in the first place. I think that, but it's definitely something that I miss for sure. For sure. Yeah.
So, do you actually only verticals or also horizontal stuff?
I haven't explored too much in the horizontal world, just because verticals kind of scoop me up like right at that perfect time, to where it's one of those, like, if you get on the train, you don't leave the train.
Drive and drive and
You just
drive.
keep going on the train. So I don't know what the future's gonna look like in terms of the balance of vertical and horizontal and things like that. But I know that horizontal work is something that I am still piquing an interest in. But I also have been very appreciative of what verticals have given me in terms of how I'm able to really challenge myself as an actor in a lot of ways, and really have a lot of genuine on-set experience, which is, I don't think that I could possibly, I don't think I could possibly have an alternative to that, if I wasn't working on verticals. So I think that, yeah. So it's been really cool. It's been really cool, and to see the evolution, as slow as it may seem, of verticals, I think has been really, really great. So yeah.
How does normally look like a day on set for you? Do you have any routine in the morning before going on set, or does it depend which type of character you're playing? Do you have to get in the character mood on the way to set, or do you have, like some actors told me, special playlists for difficult
Oh, wow.
character types? Or yeah, I got told. Yeah, I have JCN, for example, told me she has for every type of character a villain one, a lovey-dovey housewife. She has a Spotify
Really?
playlist where she gets in the
Wow.
right mood. Yeah.
Wow. I wish that I could say that I have like a secret sauce or like a special
No?
system that I have.
Okay.
But I think, to be honest, I've when because I've done so much theater in my life, that you have to play these in theater, you're forced to play characters that are completely outside of yourself,
Yeah.
and that wouldn't, like, I would have to play a 90-year-old British man. And and for six weeks straight, so the idea for me of always like getting into the like trying to like do I never I've it's never crossed my mind to like it's never been something that's
Okay.
crossed my mind. I show up, and then they tell me, all right, this is where you're gonna go, and then
You are
I just
okay, ready.
go into it.
Action.
I it's been a little jarring, I think, for some of the people that I have worked with. Because I tend I, because I am a very like I'm a very like dorky and silly guy by nature, But the roles that I play in verticals are very like,
Yeah.
intense. And so sometimes when they call cut, I'll bounce immediately back into my
But
normal self.
that's good. That's good that you can do it.
Yeah, and it doesn't bother me. Like it doesn't like it, it doesn't like phase me. But I think for like the people that are not used to it, like directors would be like, "You're so like, how do you do that?" And I'm like, I don't know. I just do. I wish that I, again, I wish I could tell people like, oh, this is
Yeah.
like how I do it. It just, I don't know. It's been
It's your
something that I've been
natural, you
doing.
want to say. You have multiple personalities in your
Yeah,
body.
I'm just a
Okay.
crazy person. That's what it is. I just have multiple people living inside my
That's
head.
not so bad to be
Nope.
crazy in
Absolutely not.
acting stuff. I think it's kind
But
of good.
I think I've always been the person, even in my family growing up, that has really just never, when you're a kid and then eventually you get a little older and that sense of imagination just kind of goes away, like naturally as mature and things like that. For me, I don't know what it is, but my sense of imagination has never truly left. Like
That's good.
my ability to turn on my imagination is one of the strongest things I think about me, not just as an actor, but as a person.
Yeah.
So the ability to imagine, use my imagination to get into a character doesn't take very long for me. Doesn't
Oh,
take very
that's
long.
great. That's great. And I
Yeah.
think as far as it would fit also with this type of imagination is you are living in the moment, you know? If everyone says cut, okay, the moment is gone. And then you can totally say, okay, you don't because I spoke, for example, with Declan Clifford, and he told me that sometimes it depends on the character. He had to stay mentally the whole week in this role
Oh, wow.
because sometimes it's hard to switch off, be private, and then
It is
switch
hard.
back.
It is. It's so hard.
And that's why I adore this when you can say, okay, if the director says cut, I can be the Mark, totally who I am. Because in that way, I think it's better for also your mental health if you have this work life. No,
For me
this work
personally, it
life
has been.
balance is really great
And
because.
I've heard a lot of actors that need to stay in it, and I commend them for doing that. I think that is so strong of them and so
Yeah.
incredible for them to do that. I don't want to do I don't want to do
Yeah,
that
yeah.
for myself.
I think it's exhausting.
I think, and again, like I said, I think that that takes incredible strength, bravery, kind
Yeah.
of thing to do things like that. But I think what makes me feel so mentally healthy is my ability to clearly be able to separate the characters that I play and who Mark is really.
Yeah.
And it's all internally with me. Like that is what makes me feel the most like emotionally and mentally safe, is being able to jump right back into who Mark is. And then when I need to, okay, sure, if I need to like bawl my eyes out, it might take me like a minute or two to kind of like, okay, like let me really try to like, cry or something like that. But if I'm but I need to be able to keep Mark as much
Alive,
in the room as the
alive.
character as the other one. I think that's what makes one, I think that's what keeps me sharp as an actor, and I think it makes it and it continues to make my imagination even stronger.
I
Because
think
and
so,
what you
yeah.
said about living in the moment, like you said, when you do a theater performance, you're doing a completely different experience every single night. So for me, every single take is pretty much a new night for me, a new theater performance night. So it's like my take one might be completely different from the way that I do take two, which I know could be dangerous for continuity. I try to keep continuity as much as I can. But it's.
Maybe some of the post-production team hates you, so oh,
Oh,
come
I would
on, Mark,
imagine.
be serious.
I know. And I'm sure that that is a nightmare for them. And I deeply apologize if that's the case. But there is something inherently different about if my co-star has to say the words "I love you" to me, they might say it just slightly different that second time that they do the first time. In which case, I have to be so aware of what they're giving me because I have to respond exactly to what they're giving me. So if that is being received even a smidge different, then my delivery on that second time is also going to be a smidge different. You know what I mean? Because that's the world that I've always operated on, is that every moment is completely different. So yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting for me, for sure.
Last question before I want to ask you the five question quickie.
Okay.
What character you played? I think it's Dorian, but exceptional maybe of him, was the most challenged one for you, and you loved also.
Challenged. I think there's two sides. There's two answers. The one that I think people have responded to the most is Dorian, which is so much that I love that character so much, and I love the character arc that the production, the director, and the writers were able to give me. They were able to let me really explore that character as much as I could. But there is a character that I really hold dear to my heart, and it's his name is Henry Bailey. It's from a vertical that I did called The Knight and the Influencer. It's on Alta TV. And it's I played a medieval knight that popped out of a painting. And
Yeah, I saw
yeah,
this one. That was funny
it
and
was very
a
funny.
really cool storyline.
Yeah, the storyline was super unique. I've never seen or
Never
even
ever.
done a vertical even close to that until
There
that.
have never been nearly the
Yeah,
same one.
I think it's insane how unique that vertical is. And not only was it a unique vertical, but it was so much fun. It was so much fun for me. I got to have a British accent. Like I had to wear knight armor. It was a comedy. Like it was so funny in so many great ways. And everyone that we worked with, we had a great time filming that. Like it was, that is such, it's, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna, I hope that it like in the vertical zeitgeist, I hope that it like becomes like one of those cult classics kind of thing. Like because like people are just like, oh yeah, Knight and the Influencer, because it was just so much
It
fun.
was
It
with Autumn
was so good.
Noel, right?
Yes, yes,
She
yes.
was the female one? Yeah,
Yeah, yeah.
exactly.
Yeah, it
Yeah,
was
you know,
great.
the thing is, of this vertical, it was so far away from the typical storyline.
Yeah, I know.
No raping, no kidnapping, no,
Nope.
you know what I mean? So
Nope.
it was so entertaining.
Yeah, I know. It was great. It was so entertaining. It
It was
was,
really good.
yeah. It was such a good vertical. I don't know if you got the chance to watch it, but like it was so much fun. I loved it.
Yeah,
I would play Henry
that was
Bailey 100 times.
truly a great
Yeah.
one. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so bad with all the titles, so
No, it's okay. Yeah.
I need to hear what kind of storylines were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not so good in imagination the titles, because mostly of the titles have anywhere a CEO, billionaire, heiress or a
Yeah, they're
stuffer
all the same. They're all the same.
yeah. Fine. No, but I would see more stuff like that, because you know, there it makes sense that it's not more realistic. There it makes totally sense for the complete
Because
storyline.
it doesn't need to. Like, and that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Like, they're such larger than life characters, and they don't need to like be. I don't know. There's space for it for
It
sure.
was really unique, absolutely. So everyone who hadn't seen it yet, watch this one. It's really good.
Yeah, I hope
It's
so.
really.
I hope it's such a cult
Are
classic
you
though.
the type of who reads the reviews?
No. No. I have not. No, I don't read the reviews. I would be too
No,
scared
I
to.
was just
I'd be too
asking.
scared. I
Why too
do. I do.
scared?
I'm. Oh, just you know. I'm my own worst enemy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. I think that if like some things pop up every now and then, I'm on like my social media, I'll like take a I'll read through. But I try to just you know keep doing the thing that I'm doing. Try to do the best job that I can, kind of thing. That's all I can ask for.
Yeah, that's fine. So, at the end, as I said, I will ask a five question quickie. Everyone, the same five
Okay.
questions.
All right.
First one, what's your favorite dish? What food do you like?
Chicken Parmesan. Chicken
Chicken
Parmesan.
parmesan.
Or any sandwich. I'm a huge sandwich guy.
Really?
Yes, I love sandwiches. Love it, love it, love it.
Hey, then you have to come clearly over some days to Europe because Germany, for example, has great bread. Not
Oh,
the
all right.
typical, not the typical. You have to visit Nick Gabinian because I saw he lately is trying to make a sourdough bread.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just I well, because sandwiches made out of a good type of bread, not the typical bread you
Yeah,
have
I
in the
definitely love.
US.
Yeah,
They are so
I like a
much
good
better.
German
They are
bread.
so
Yeah.
much better.
Okay. All right. Interesting. All
Just
right. I'll give it a
And I
shot.
saw Nick Gabillion stories that he's trying to, because sourdough you have to make with a lot of patience and in more days over and stuff.
Yeah, it
And I
takes a while.
saw on his stories that he's trying to make his own sourdough bases.
Well, good
So
luck to him. I hope it works out.
we will see. But
Yeah.
sandwich, yeah, sandwiches are good. But that's also a thing. It's not so popular here in Germany, the sandwich
Oh, okay.
culture. No.
That's all right.
We are not so simple. We need it more fancy, you know. I don't know.
Rightfully so. I mean, yeah.
I'm thinking about an Italian sandwich. That would be good.
Well, the best of both worlds is the chicken parmesan sandwich. That's like the ultimate for me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What's on it?
It's just breaded chicken with marinara sauce, and then
What kind of sauce?
like a marinara sauce, like the red one, like the tomato sauce,
Ah,
like the
okay.
red, yeah, and
Okay.
then like pizza sauce basically, or
Okay.
pasta
Okay.
sauce, yeah, and then you put mozzarella, Parmesan cheese on it, and then you put on whatever veggies you want, and you're good to go. Yeah.
Cold or warm?
Oh, probably warm. Probably warm.
Ah, okay.
I could probably do it cold, but like I'd prefer it probably warmer.
Okay. No, I'm just asking because maybe I will try some sandwiches
Yeah,
these days.
go for it.
Why not? Next one, do you have any comfort movie you
Comfort movie.
rewatched 1,000 times, maybe classic ones, I don't know.
Yes, movies that I've watched over and over again are the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the
Oh,
original
I
Lord of the
never
Rings trilogy.
saw one of that.
Wow. Okay. That's cool. That's
Yes.
cool. That's cool. If you haven't, in it's a little tiny trilogy that you should try probably check out at some point if you are a movie fan. Yes,
Haven't seen
the Lord of the Rings movies are very near and dear to my heart. If for comfort for I actually watch more TV comedies for comfort, and then that would be Parks and Recreation, The Office, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, or 30 Rock. Any one of
Oh,
those
The
three.
Office. There is a German version also of The Office. That's
Really?
also
Cool.
so funny. Oh,
Yes,
yes.
very funny, very, very funny.
That's really good. It's really good.
Yes.
And what kind of music puts you in a good mood? Okay, you don't have playlists for characters,
Yes.
so what kind of music you normally listen to?
I do enjoy top 40 music. I very much also enjoy classic rock.
Okay.
I like anything that has a more upbeat to it. I like songs that get the blood flowing as opposed to more like really in-depth emotional music.
Yeah.
I think there's enough drama in my life that I don't need
You are
anymore.
playing dramas, come
Yeah,
on.
there's I shouldn't say not my personal life, but in my professional life,
Yeah.
there's a lot of drama. So I like to avoid that and have more upbeat songs if I can help it. Yeah.
Totally understandable. Totally understandable.
Yeah.
Okay, we spoke about your night role in the vertical. When someone comes up to you and said, "Mark, listen, I want to start watching verticals. Which one of yours I should definitely have watched?" What would you say?
I would say I would start with Knight and the Influencer. I would probably go to Love and Blood. Then I also, as a, if they're still interested, if they're still holding on after that, I would go with Billionaire Matchmaker. That was a really fun one.
Oh, that
I've,
was with Kermit?
it
No.
was a
No,
Kirby.
it
It was
was.
a Kirby. It was with Jeff. Yeah,
Yeah, I saw that one.
it was a very, very, that was a
But that
fun
was a
one.
kind of more realistic story, you know? Because of the online dating stuff and stuff like that. I don't
Definitely.
understand why there are so less verticals with kind of all these online dating stories.
That's a good point. I don't know. I think
Because it's
I'm not
so
sure.
normal to do
Yeah.
that for
Yeah,
a
I
lot
agree.
of people.
Yeah, online dating is a lot different of a culture now than what it was like 5, 10 years ago. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
that I don't understand why there are so less verticals with all this matchmaker stuff.
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah, just
But yeah, so those three. I go with those three.
yeah, that's a good point. And three total different storylines. That's
Yeah,
good.
exactly. Yeah.
That's really good. And last question. We spoke earlier about it a bit. Which new genre you want to see, or which genre you want to see more in verticals, or do more in verticals?
For me, if I would love to see more comedy. I would. I
Yeah.
think that comedy would be amazing. I think that that would really elevate the vertical industry to heights that I don't think that people would expect. I think that it would be very, very popular, at least a lot more popular than people think it would. And if it has to not be comedy, then I would really push to love to see a push in really, let's see how creative we can get with the fantasy genre. I think that there's a lot of room for it, and I think it's such a huge, vast genre that can really expand creativity, and I would love to see more of that.
You mean more in a different type of fantasy? Like, I don't know, Harry Potter style, Avatar style, whatever,
Yeah, I
or
think, yeah, of course. I think that the world has been the vertical world has been introduced very much to the werewolf vertical style. And I would say that I see a lot more potential in that specific world, in that specific genre of verticals, especially since it already has such a high popularity. I think that there is a there's a lot of really interesting creative potential with that world. If not, then I if it is more original, like a wizard or even or like even like a sci-fi version one, I think that it could definitely I think that that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, fantasy, sci-fi, like it's such a massive, not only that, but it's also crazy popular in the Western audience right now. Like
Absolutely.
everything is fantasy and sci-fi and Marvel, Star Wars, you know, DC, Superman, all that stuff. It's huge. It's huge. So to not even want to not even attempt to play around with that in the vertical industry, I think would be a darn shame.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Some
Yeah.
types of Batman and Robin.
Yeah, let's do a
Spider-Man
Batman.
vertical. Spider-Man and vertical.
I joked about that the other day. I was like, I should do a Spider-Man vertical. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a good goal. That's a good goal. Mark, I thank you so much for your time and talking
Yeah,
to
thank you
me. It
so
was a
much.
pleasure having you.
Yes, of course. Thank
And
you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I hope we will see comedies in 2026.
Yeah, let's keep our
Fingers
fingers crossed.
crossed, fingers
Yeah.
crossed, and maybe we will be totally surprised about a totally different new genre.
Let's find, let's only time will tell, right?
You know, I wish I have a bit of wish for Western one.
Ooh,
The old Western
a
one with
cowboy?
saloon,
Yeah, that'd be
yeah,
fun.
cowboy saloon style
Yeah.
and
Maybe
so.
a pirate one too. Yeah.
Yeah, the first pirate one I saw was really good.
Really? I didn't even know they had a pirate vertical out. I didn't know.
Really?
I didn't know. I really didn't
They
know.
shot lately one with Nick Westaway in it and stuff like that.
I have to see it. I don't know what that is, but all
I
right,
will
cool.
I will send you the trailer,
Okay,
okay?
send it to me.
That's
Okay.
so good. No, it was
Okay.
they shot the first 10 episodes until WordFest. And there you can see after WordFest, and on WordFest you can see you could see the trailer, and after WordFest they published the first 10 episodes, and then they are shot lately the rest.
Wow. Okay, great. Thank you so much. That sounds great.
And that's so good. Really the classic one with big ship,
Yeah.
and you know, it's not the new pirates, so it's the classic one. That's
Yeah.
so good. That's so good.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. And you know, I like this old one. Or kind of like a Indiana Jones or stuff like
Yeah,
that.
of course. That'd be really
Or
good.
to come back to the Rome one, the criminal cases.
And see, that's what I'm saying. It's just there's so much space for it. There's so much room for it. So,
And it's
yeah.
all about the money. We need money, Mark.
The moolah.
Yeah, probably. We will see. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you
I
so much.
wish
I
you
appreciate
a
it.
lovely day and happy holidays.
Yes, you as well. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Bye bye.
Bye. Have a good one.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.